Welcome to How to Build a Tent. The show is not about tent building, it's not about camping, but it's about how to make you successful in business. If it's entrepreneurship, if it's a corporate career, if it's running that small or large business, we're here to help you be successful. My name is Matt Williams. Thanks for joining us. If you like this show, please give us that 5-star review and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. That is super helpful. If you want to contact me, if you have any questions or comments or disagreements, or if you need help in your career, if you need some consulting or some coaching or whatever it may be, you can reach out to me on Twitter or Instagram at How to Build a Tent. You can email me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. All right, today we're going to get right into it and talk about two ways to change our thinking to make us more successful. And the first way is how we think about value. Now, some of us might hear the word value and think value store, think discount, think a really good sale, but that's not how I want us to think about value at all. And I came up with just this thought process about value when I got my MBA, and people were asking me, should I go back to school and finish my undergraduate degree? Should I get an MBA? Should I get a PhD? And I mean, if you want to get a PhD, you must really love school. And there's two things that I really answer with now. Is the first thing is, well, do you need it to achieve your goals? Do you need that degree to do what God has called you to do? And that might be the case if you want to be a doctor or a scientist or an engineer, you need to go to school and get a degree in those fields. But you might want to be a programmer, or you might want to be a construction worker and have your own construction business. You might want to be a plumber. Those are all great jobs that you don't necessarily need a degree for. And the second thing, which I really want to harp on, is this value, this concept of value. Now, value, I explain it in a formula because I think that's really easy to grasp. And it's value equals the benefit minus the cost. So when you're thinking about a product or a service, this case, if you want to go to school and get a degree, is the benefit of this product service going to be greater than the cost to go? Now, the cost is quantitative. It's easy to figure out. The qualitative part is the benefit, which requires wisdom, talking to mentors, getting good advice, having experience, doing a lot of research. That's a little more tricky, but usually you could figure it out with a little due diligence. So value is the benefit minus the cost. And in everything that we do, you will be better off if you make a decision on buying a car, buying a house, taking a job, is what are the benefits, or the benefit singular minus the cost. Maybe it's an opportunity cost of doing something else, or the price tag. And that will give you the value of the decision. And I really like the example of school, because there's a lot of things you can pull out from it as lessons for around value. And the first thing I think is important to remember, especially when considering to go to school or not, is that value changes. A degree in a college degree, an undergraduate degree today is not as valuable as it was 30 years ago. And that's important to remember when you have parents that are pushing you to go back to school, because that was the dream back then. That's the thing to do. If you could go to college 30, 40 years ago, man, you were privileged. You got the hookups, you got the better career. But today it's not, you know, as valuable. It's not as worthwhile as it was back then. And a big part of that is the cost. And again, going back to our equation of value equals the benefit minus the cost. And a great example of this would be Harvard. Harvard is a great school. It's a great school today. It was a great school 30 years ago. But the cost of going to Harvard back then is a lot cheaper than it is today, thanks to a large part of the government. But that's a whole nother show. So the benefit of Harvard from 30 years ago to today has really remained the same. It's a great school. It's a great education. But the cost has gone up, so the value has gone down. Because if the benefit stays the same, benefit minus the cost, and the cost goes up, then that's eating into that benefit and causing the value to go down. And that's just Harvard. Now think about all the other schools that don't have as many benefits of going as Harvard does, but the costs have still skyrocketed. I mean, I went to Pepperdine University. Go Waves, you can see me back there. Their tuition is actually more expensive, I believe, than Harvard is. And, you know, Pepperdine's a great school, top 100, and I really am glad I went there. I recommend it to people all the time. It's no Harvard, though. I mean, if Harvard gets you in the door, Pepperdine doesn't necessarily do that, although it has a great alumni network. I'm not bashing on Pepperdine. Don't get mad at me. It's a great school. But the benefit isn't the same. And so we need to understand that as we're evaluating if we should go to college today, because the benefit isn't there, isn't there to make it worth it to pay the cost. And if you make decisions where the benefit is less than the cost, that's how you become poorer. That's not how you become wealthy. Another example of this that you can use in your business or your personal life is with hiring people. Maybe it's an employee or maybe it's a gardener. Or, you know, someone to help around the house with cleaning. It could be all those things is evaluating that. Is the benefit of having that hired help greater than the cost to hire them? This can also be very important with evaluating opportunity cost. And if you don't know what an opportunity cost is, it's very simple. If you have two decisions you can make, you only can make one and you have to make one or the other. If you choose to go A instead of B, the cost is B. And if you decide to go B instead of A, the opportunity cost is A. And so the opportunity cost is basically what you're giving up to do something else. Evaluating the value of each decision and then making the decision will really help with deciding what's better to do. Should I take this job or that job? Should I move to this state or that state? You know, and you can start thinking about all the tax implications and all those good things as well. That's how you create wealth, is thinking through a lens of value. It's not necessarily, you know, will I make more money even? It's will I get more value out of it? And that's why you see a lot of successful people who have secretaries, have people that help them. I think in the real estate field, agents, all the super agents, have people, admins in the office doing all the paperwork. It costs more money to have them than to do it yourself, but the opportunity cost of them having to do paperwork instead of getting out and selling is not worth it for them. And they've realized that there is greater value into hiring someone to do that stuff, the paperwork and also the stuff in the office, than for them to do it themselves. And that's another great example of value and how that can help you create wealth and make you successful. For you employees, for those looking for a career, the idea of value is super important when wanting to ask for a raise and when you're looking for a promotion. And this is a concept along with value that really made me want to be an entrepreneur. And the idea is that the business will only hire you if they believe they can get more value than what they pay you. So they have the same equation when they're looking to hire someone. So they are looking when they interview you to say, does this person, will he give me or she, will this person give me more value than what I'm going to pay them for? So that's why I love being an entrepreneur, small business, running my own business, doing my own thing, because I want all of the benefits that I produce. So how does this play in when you're asking for a raise or asking for a bonus or asking for that promotion? Is you have to sell the company that you are worth more, that you provide more value than they think you do or what they're paying you for. And there's a great graphic that I'm going to throw up on the screen, because before you can convince them that you have greater value is you need to understand the equation. And a lot of people think that the cost of employment is how much you get paid and your salary and your take-home pay. But really, that's just a part of it. And that this graph really does a good job of showing that. This breaks down the average cost per hour of a worker in the United States and across the regions. And you could see in this bar chart, if you just look at the first chart or the first bar in the chart, that if you make $23.76 an hour, which is the average across the nation, that the cost to the employer is really $34.17. So that's about a third in benefits, as you can see, that $10.41 that an employer is paying on top of what you take home. And you can see it changes depending on the region. The more liberal places like Northeast is going to have more costs because of the benefits that they require employers to give. That's a whole nother show as well. But so you need to understand the true cost of you as an employee to the employer, that you are negotiating more than just your salary. You have a whole package of benefits. Now, if you're lower in the corporate ladder, the benefits are going to be different than if you're higher. You're going to have bonuses. You're going to have maybe a company car, company phone, more vacation days, more company stock options and all that. And that all goes into the negotiating of you getting a raise. So the first tip of advice when understanding value and negotiating a raise or a bonus is understanding your true cost to the employer. It's more than just your salary. And then you can take that second piece and communicate the benefits you bring and highlight the things that you do well. And, you know, it's always good to use numbers and show like how you've exceeded your role in the company, or if you're just starting the company, what you've done in past companies. And combining those two understandings of the benefit you're bringing to the company and the true cost that you cost them, then you can negotiate better on the value. So instead of just saying, I think I deserve a raise, now you're going to have a weapon to go into and fight for that promotion or for that bonus. Hit me up if you use this and it works and you get that bonus. I'd love to hear about that stuff. The second thing I want to talk about is making the most of opportunities that come along. And when I think about opportunity, there's a story in the Bible that just sticks out to me that I absolutely love. And it's Jonathan and his armor bearer who go out to the fields, and they go up to see if the Lord is with them and overtaking this garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines had superior weapons. They outnumbered Jonathan and the armor bearer, but he believed in God and he saw an opportunity for God to work if he decided to. That's such a great story. And sure enough, he defeated them all. And one of the characteristics that a millionaire was talking about that made him successful, that he thinks made him successful, and he said, a lot of self-made millionaires have this characteristic. And it's to make the most of the opportunities that you have. To make the most of the opportunities. And you notice this about rich and successful people is they hang out with rich and successful people. They're at the golf club, the tennis club. They're networking. They're building relationships. They're building connections in business. They're putting each other on boards and all those things, on each other's boards of directors. They're doing favors for each other so that whenever they need a favor, they can ask for it and get it. They're building these strong relationships and making the most of the opportunities that present themselves. Now in life, not everyone gets the same amount of opportunities, but everyone gets opportunities and everyone has an opportunity to make the most of those things. We all have the abilities. God has given us the abilities to do that. And I know that this is true because God has a plan for every single person's life. If you are listening to this, God has a plan for your life. He's not done with you. He has great things in store for you if you would just pursue him and pursue the plan that he has for your life. He will present these opportunities for you to go after, to work after, to hustle after. And you will be successful when you pursue him. So what do these opportunities look like? Well, it could be in the form of starting a business. And maybe you see a need in the market where no business is fulfilling it. Maybe it's a product or a service. Maybe there's just an industry where it's just terrible customer service. And you say, I can provide better customer service. So you go and you start a business. It could be going in and asking for that promotion with that new value tip that I gave you. And asking for a raise. It could be writing an executive recommendation to an executive at your company based off maybe a SWOT analysis and say, hey, these are the recommendations that I would give for this problem or this opportunity, and sending it to an executive and seeing what they say. And there's many different ways that opportunities can present itself. But one thing I want us to do is get away from thinking that like about yourself and like comments like this. Am I living up to my potential? Why don't I just get the opportunities that other people do? Why is my life so disadvantaged? It's a very self-focused, and I know it's easy for us to do in our culture, but that's not biblical thinking. God is the one who provides opportunities. God is the one who makes the man. So rather than saying those kinds of things and being self-focused, let us ask this question: has the Lord given us an opportunity for this? Where has God given me an opportunity to pursue him and pursue what he has for me? That is an outward focus instead of an inward focus. And that is giving God the credit for things. And when we do pursue those things, it's important for a few concepts. One is to fail fast. There's going to be a lot of things that we pursue that aren't going to work, and that's okay. When we do fail, we need to recover and we need to try again. Maybe not necessarily the same opportunity, but then go on to look for the next opportunity that God is presenting for us. In Proverbs 24:16, it says, "For the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity." We have such an advantage as Christians to take risks, not to take unnecessary risks, not just to be a terrible steward, but to see opportunities and to go after them. God has given us that adventurous spirit like he gave to Jonathan. And not everyone's going to start a business, but everyone is going to be called to take risks in their lives because God wants us to trust him. And if we're never taking risks, we're not growing and trusting in him in that way. And as Christians, we should have a propensity to take risks that we feel like God's calling us to do that might not make business sense or may not make practical sense. But after doing the research and praying about it and getting counsel, and if something's on your heart, just try it. Even if you fail, we have a God who redeems us constantly, not just spiritually, but in our lives and in the things we do. He can use all things for good. And if we have a God that can use all things for good, then why not go out and try things and see what God can do, just like what Jonathan did? So go out and try something. Maybe it's asking for a raise. Maybe it's looking for another job. Maybe it's looking to start a business. Maybe it's starting a nonprofit. Just go out and see what God's gonna bless. With that, please, again, subscribe. Give us that 5-star rating. If you want to reach out to me with any questions, comments, feedback, you can hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at How to Build a Tent. You can email me at matt@howtobuildatent.com. And with that, we'll see you tomorrow. God bless.